I'm Stephen Strang. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report podcast. I wanted to do an introduction to a very special podcast that we did both in video and audio, but I wanted to kind of tee it up. It's with Pastor Kerry Gordon, who has created and produced a very important new movie called Enemies Within the Church. In fact, we're partnering with him and his organization in some ways to make this movie available on our new streaming app called Charisma Plus. And as I say in the podcast, I tell the listener how to get it, but you know, write this down, thecharismaplusapp.com/enemies within the church. You can also download the free Charisma Plus app and watch it on that. And if you do, it's available on Roku, Apple TV, and so forth. I explain all this in the podcast, but what I did was we started with the theme song, and then we play a trailer to this very important movie. You won't be able to see it, of course, but there's an announcer, and it's high energy, and I think you'll enjoy it. And then we get into an interview, a very interesting, in-depth conversation about a very serious issue in our culture and especially within the church. So stay tuned. And here's the audio version of what we played on video on our charismanews.com site and used in other ways. I just wanted to explain what you are hearing. And also, I wanted to just remind you that you have to write down charismaplusapp.com/enemies within the church.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
What happened to the church? To the living, powerful, transformative, nation-shaking Christianity?
What they're trying to do is completely demolish Western civilization and then to rebuild it in a just society.
How do you break down American Christianity?
I think the problem today in our culture is many of our words have been co-opted and stolen and dumbed down and reversed.
Social justice is sold as something that it isn't. Critical race theory is sold as something that it isn't.
Whiteness has caused blindness of heart. Whiteness has caused blindness of heart.
When you preach victimization, it always leads to vengeance and vice. Us against them, me against you, I want my pound of flesh.
American churches today are where the universities were 10 years ago. Pretty heavily Marxist. They're not quite there yet, but they're well on the way. Many of the seminaries and Bible colleges are definitely already there.
That message that they're going out and taking the world is not, you need to repent of your sin, receive Christ. Instead, the message that you actually have is they are under the weight of racism or sexism or homophobia, and then we need to unify them together.
I'm gay, I'm 29, I'm a youth pastor in New Jersey.
I'm straight, and I'm also a youth pastor in New Jersey.
We're planning on sharing life together for the rest of our lives, which we're not totally sure what that looks like. Obviously, Nick is straight, and he does plan on getting married. When he has a wife one day, she'll make those decisions with us.
The future damage of what we're doing now is just going to be enormous.
The entire fabric of family, personal wealth, private property, all those things are out the door. And everything is the state. They believe the state is God.
They don't define justice the same way as the scripture.
Oh, no. It's going to be an equality, all right. And it's going to be a totalitarian Marxist justice.
Wow. That is fantastic. I was just overwhelmed when I saw this documentary. I am happy to announce that we're partnering with you in that. It's going to play on our brand new app called Charisma Plus. And I just feel honored to do this. I think this is so very important. But let me ask you the first question. why did you want to do this? And, you know, no offense meant, but why would a pastor from Sioux City, Iowa, forward on the national stage like this?
Well, you know, I've asked myself that a few times too, but it certainly wasn't so I could make friends. But I believe that it's because the Lord said to do it. I believe like the Lord commissioned us to do this. And in Ephesians chapter 4, your audience knows well that the Lord Jesus died, he was buried, he was resurrected, he ascended and sat down on his throne. And the first thing that he did as king was commissioned apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers into this world where we have sin and we have trouble and we have problems, primarily to do two things, to sum it up. Number one, to preach the gospel, to preach his message, to herald his warning to the world that you must repent and be baptized, every one of you. But then secondly, Jesus constantly warned us that wolves would come and false Christs, and many, he said, would arise, and they would pervert the truth of the gospel and twist it to mislead God's people away from the truth. And so as a minister of the gospel, I have a duty to preach the Bible as accurately as possible, but also I have a duty before the Lord to defend the gospel from people who twist it. And we're living in a time when the gospel is getting twisted in every direction imaginable. And there's something in particular happening in the United States that's very nefarious. I believe very easily identified as the work of the spirit of Antichrist. It's lawlessness. And it's getting into all of our Bible colleges and seminaries. And de facto, it's getting into almost all of our churches. And it's reaching across every denominational line. You can see it in the Catholic Church. You can see it in Lutheranism. You can see it in many of the Protestant denominations. And frankly, it's beginning to creep its way even into charismatic circles now. And it's very, very dangerous, and it's alluring. And I think good-hearted people can be tricked into getting into this if we don't warn them about why it's not biblical. And it's referred to commonly as the social justice gospel. And that's why we made the movie, to educate people so that they could understand the danger that's lurking. It's really a Christian version of Marxism, and it's getting everywhere. So we've got to stop it.
Well, I agree with you 100%, and I want to do a deep dive on it. I am also very concerned about that, as we'll, you know, discuss. But I first have to say, after teasing you about being from Iowa, I am an Iowa boy.
Yes.
In Iowa for 5 years when I was in elementary school. So I have a warm spot in my heart for the Hawkeye State. And in fact, I moved to Florida, where I am now, from Iowa when I was a kid. And as I was watching your documentary, I was pleased and surprised to see Micah from Hudson, Iowa, which is where I live. Yeah. In a little town that I didn't think anybody outside Black Hawk County even knew about.
Right.
But I have a great church there, and it was just nice to make that little connection. And I'll say that I've been covering the Christian community, partly or mainly the Pentecostal charismatic arm, but I've had to live in the evangelical world. Most of the major leaders, of course, you know, have had to try to work with them on in common things, came to respect them, even though that many of them actually abhor the theology that I believe, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
And I've been aware of that, but, you know, I was horrified to see some of these people that I've, over the years, and I've been doing this for over 40 years, I had reason to respect, and now they've kind of gone woke. And
right.
And I'll just mention to my listeners that recently I did two podcasts with Lucas Miles, who wrote a book called When the Church Becomes Woke. And I did an interview, and the numbers were very, very strong, which shows there's a lot of interest. And we did an interview before the book came out and then after the book came out. And people could look that up on the Charisma Podcast Network if they're interested. I kind of expected your documentary to be a little bit more about his book, because evangelicals tend to be, you know, a little bit self-righteous. We believe the word of God. We believe in salvation. Right. And we don't compromise on sin, let's say.
Yeah.
But your documentary includes some of that, of course, but goes much further. You talk about really what's going on in America, that is communism. They rely a lot on Trevor Loudon, who I've actually interviewed in two of my books and have a whole chapter in my book, God and Cancel Culture, interviewing mainly him about that this is not cancel culture, it's really communism, making right. some of the same points that he makes in your documentary. And it's just dangerous. And most Christians, nice little conservative people trying to raise their kids and, you know, somehow serve Jesus through all this mess, I think they don't get it. And so I'm glad that you're bringing this to the fore, because it is very, very serious. And in my opinion, it isn't just understanding it, it's doing something about it. And the people who should be speaking up and speaking right. to the culture are slowly becoming woke themselves.
Right.
What do you hope that people do as a result of your documentary?
Well, the first thing that we want to happen, obviously, we have to deal with very large, powerful institutions and very wealthy institutions that seem unaccountable. And they just get away with everything and no one ever calls them out. Maybe everybody's afraid of them. I don't know. But we hope that they'll repent. I mean, we hope that they'll say, well, let's look at this again. Maybe they're right. Maybe I got duped. Maybe I thought, yeah, I don't like racism, so I'll go march with Black Lives Matter because I don't like racism. I'm a Christian. Well, maybe they just honestly were trying to stand in solidarity on low-hanging fruit, not realizing that by joining the march, they're joining with people who openly, shamelessly blaspheme the Bible, hate the Lord Jesus Christ, and are willing to act in violence and burn whole cities to the ground. So there's some of that. We just want people that are sincere and maybe didn't understand what they were getting involved with to repent. Maybe some ministers have started using terms and lingo that is really sourced by Marxism and communism, and they're using it in their pulpit out of a desire just to be relevant and speak the language of young people. Well, we hope that those ministers will say, whoopsie, not going to do that anymore. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to associate with something that's anti-Christ and anti-Bible. But then obviously, we want people who are hardcore leftists who aggressively pervert the Bible to either repent or to be marked publicly so everyone will stop sending them money and helping them pervert the gospel. And I think some of these colleges and seminaries, for example, parents love the Lord. They bring their kids up in church and their son or their daughter says, hey, I feel called to the mission field. I'm supposed to serve Jesus in ministry. And so the first thing they do is send them to a seminary, thinking that they're going to get trained in the Bible and turn into a wonderful warrior for the kingdom, not realizing that they're sending them into an apostate institution that's deliberately deconstructing Christianity and then reconstructing Marxism with a Christian veneer so that they're creating leftism in the church. So we hope people repent. We hope people will understand this new glossary of terms that they invent new words. It's hard to keep up with it. So we understand why my generation or older probably our heads are spinning when we hear white privilege and intersectionality and gender binary and all these strange terms that they keep coming up with. You can't keep up with it, but we're able to just dig down and show the source of all of it. And then, of course, if they won't repent, if people won't repent and they won't turn away from this error, we want at least other people who understand it to stop helping them, stop platforming them, stop supporting them, because we want to honor Jesus first.
Amen. I think that's so important. And hopefully people who fall into that category, sort of innocently, so to speak, sure. have their eyes open. I think that's important. I go to I'm going to call it a conservative charismatic church. And my own pastor was blasted by some of the members because he wouldn't put BLM's logo on the church website. Now, thank you. Right. He stood strong, and whatever controversy there was sort of behind the scenes. At least one or two people left the church because, you know, they sort of bought into that side. But that is an example of what happens. And I've seen this drift happen over the years. In my own experience, is that when I lived in Iowa as a kid, first of all, I was not around Black people. I'm sure there are Blacks in Iowa, but they did not live in Hudson. I'll tell you that.
Well, we have less than, I think, 2% are non-white in the state of Iowa. So our demographic is just heavily white.
Right. But I can remember that growing up as a child, I never heard any bias, for example.
Sure.
I moved to Florida in the segregated South. I was horrified as a kid in what I saw. I went to segregated schools for 5 years, not because I wanted to. I had no control, but because the public schools were all segregated. And I was in high school when they integrated the schools, and I did my small part as a high school journalist at the school paper, writing editorials for Working Together. Now, all this radicalism was not around back then. And for many years, I've written about this in the book, that I was a Democrat for many years. And it was because they seemed to care more about civil rights and justice. Of course, we understood the word justice different back then. Now, I came across to the Republicans, not because they're better. In fact, I like what Dennis Prager says. He says the only good thing you can really say about the Republicans is that they're not Democrat. And the Democratic
Party
has gone so far left, but a lot of the Republicans play tootsies with them, as you know.
Yeah.
As you said in your very interesting interview with Steve Deese on Blaze TV, that the answers are not going to come from the Republicans and Democrats, and certainly not Donald Trump. And I'm a big supporter of Donald Trump and wrote 3 books about him. And I was glad that at least we had somebody who was kind of our champion. But the answers are not going to come from him. It really needs to come from the church. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is how passive the church is. I mean, we saw this with the COVID epidemic when it shut down the churches and how passively the pastors went along. And then when the government let them open the doors, they celebrated that the government said they could go to church rather than the fact that God says it. It's very concerning. And then even my book, God and Cancel Culture, notice how I kind of slipped that in. I've been concerned how few Christians are concerned about cancel culture, but I want to talk about that because you have experienced it. You've had difficulty getting people to even run your documentary. Isn't that true?
It is absolutely true. Everyone is running scared. And, you know, we're pretty suspicious that it's because we're not gay affirming. And the corporations in this country are very hostile and emboldened by the current administration to be that way. And, you know, Christianity is ending up right now very much like it was 6-7 years ago in Canada. And it's not going to be very long before you're going to be suffering penalties, not just for opening the doors of your church because the government said you couldn't, but for preaching messages that the government does not approve of. And, you know, as we creep toward Marxism and socialism, more and more people are feeling their oats about their alleged right to suppress your free speech. And people just seem to be oblivious to the dangers of this. And of course, connected to what you just said a moment ago, I think one of the most fundamental concerns I have as a Christian, as a pastor, as an evangelical, as a conservative, is I think the most dangerous thing that may come from this COVID-19 phenomenon is that our society already kind of thinks their rights come from men. They already kind of think that their rights come from the state or from the courts. But our founders did not believe that. Our founders said that our rights came directly from God. They bypassed the king. Our rights bypassed rulers. Our rights bypassed presidents or prime ministers. They came directly from our creator, came directly to us personally, and that the only legitimate role of the government was to protect the rights God gave each individual sacredly created human. And our society does not believe that anymore. And it's very evident when you have the state openly, brazenly violating the Constitution of the United States, pretending like there is no First Amendment, and just ordering all churches to close their doors because they say so. There is no emergency clause in the United States Constitution. So when we allow the government to bypass its own limits, we're basically given permission for the government to become unlimited in its power. And the government kind of wants to be God. And so it's really ironic that it's the churches that are letting this happen. We should have said no. I did say no. I respectfully fired back at the governor of the state of Iowa and said, you do not have the authority to close my church. You should have approached me differently. You should have asked if I would consider closing my church. You have no authority to order me to do so. So I parsed words. And so we made our own decision to continue having church every Sunday under duress. I was told by three attorneys that I could be arrested and taken to jail for having church in the United States of America during the pandemic. So yeah, there's a lot of trouble, and it boils down to statism. And that really is one of the big components of our movie. It's that we live in a world where it seems like Christians and non-Christians alike are sort of assuming that all of our rights came from the state. And this is really dangerous.
Including a lot of Christians. But our rights, our constitutional rights, do not go away when there's a crisis.
No.
Down here in Florida, we have hurricanes. And right. A couple of hurricanes came through on a Sunday, and guess what? The church is shut down, but it was a safety issue. The police also got off the street. Walmart was closed.
Right.
Everything was closed. But then, of course, when the hurricane blew through, as they always do, it was over. Here, they shut down the churches. Walmart is open. The grocery stores are open. In some states, the marijuana dispensaries were open. The liquor stores were open. They were essential. Yeah. The church wasn't. And I make this point in my editorials, my podcasts, and certainly the books, that they say it was a pandemic today to shut down the churches. What excuse are they going to use tomorrow? It's very, very serious. And they have the attitude, as you alluded to, we own all the levers of power. We have media, academia, education, Hollywood, etc. Now they're also taking over the church, so to speak. They have the House, the Senate, and the White House. It's like, we're in charge. We won. You lost. Sit down. Shut up. And if you don't, we're going to cancel you. You know, it's more or less 50-50. There's probably really more of us than there are of them. But it's getting worse and worse. And someday it may get to a point where there is no point of return. Thankfully, brave people like you are speaking out. It's powerful what you did. I was riveted. You know, congratulations to all and your team. I mean, this is as good as anything. This is something that you really want to watch, other than it's disturbing. I was shocked to hear Steve D say that he almost turned it off because he was so concerned. I mean, there's nobody who's more bold than Steve D. So, you know, you have to just decide to move through it, and you end on a note of hope. There is hope. The Bible gives us hope. All things do work together for good to those who love the Lord, whether it's Germany or North Korea or all that we're going through in the United States. And we have to believe that's true. And if it wakes up the church, that right there is something good. I'm concerned about seminaries and Bible colleges in particular. And seminaries have been known to be liberal. I mean, going back to the 1920s and 30s and really back to the 1800s in places like Harvard and places like that. And in fact, the evangelicals and the charismatics and Pentecostals started Bible colleges partly because the seminaries were going liberal. And I know this because my father went to a liberal seminary in Dubuque on the other side of the state from you. Of course, the culture and the issues were very different back in that day. And I was only a kid. My dad had to go there to get his advanced degree so that he could teach in Bible colleges where they trained missionaries and pastors and so forth.
Sure.
Those Bible colleges now are becoming universities. They look nice. They're more sophisticated. The ones that I know personally haven't really gone woke, but they don't get real upset about a lot of these things. You know, maybe we can live with these people, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's only a matter of time before they cave in. And we're seeing this with the Southern Baptists. For some reason, you seem to focus in on the Southern Baptists more than others. What do you think?
Well, honestly, for every 100 people that approached our film team over the last 3.5 years and said, I've got a story to tell you. You have to know about this happening in our denomination. Here's the evidence. We've got video proof, or we've got audio recordings. We have the documents. We can show you this is really happening. But for about every 100 people that did that, we would get one half of one person brave enough to get in front of the camera and say it. And for whatever reason, I think the people in the Southern Baptist Convention are just under so much duress and pressure and pain that of all the groups struggling with this issue, they ended up being the people most willing to sit down in front of the camera. I mean, we interviewed Presbyterians, spent some time and money on several interviews, actually. And then after the interview was over, they changed their mind and said, you can't use my footage because they're afraid. So a lot of people are afraid. And so for whatever reason, I guess when you get it, if you're in enough pain and you're suffering enough, sometimes it spurns a little bit of boldness. So kudos to the Southern Baptist folks willing to sit in front of the camera. But make no mistake, this problem is not isolated to the Southern Baptist Convention. It is everywhere. In fact, I was heartbroken to find out some sweet folks, a pastor and his wife, reached out to us who are part of the Foursquare denomination, and that's a Pentecostal church. And they told us that the woke language and lingo and that kind of thinking, sort of a perverted form of racial reconciliation, was creeping its way in at high levels in their denomination. But they're so afraid of the ramifications of saying it out loud, you know, they'll just hand you the evidence and then hope that you can find somebody else that'll talk on camera to say what happened. So you mentioned earlier that this is a really heavy topic, and it really is. And I can tell you, you know, we only get to share, I mean, we probably did, I want to say 150 hours of interviews with men all over the United States. But by the time you make the movie, that 1.5 hours you spent with one person ends up being 30 to 45 seconds that people actually get to see. So we're only sharing just the tip of our pinky finger with the audience in this movie. And frankly, we had to make some decisions. Like, it's so heavy and hard to bear. There were some things we didn't think we really wanted to put it in the movie, because at some point it gets so weighty that people can't handle it anymore. But we certainly do this. We leave our audience with hope, and we do end the movie on a note that's not, it's not fake hope. It's not hopium. It's real hope in the power and authority of Jesus Christ.
I've never heard that.
It's, you know, we do have hope. Well, Jesus is seated on his throne right now. There's no reason for us to be fearful. There's no reason for us to surrender or to go dig a bunker in our backyard. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got the power and authority of the name of Jesus. We have all the solutions for every problem in our society in the Bible. And all we've got to do is take those solutions and apply them to this world. And that's one of the things that we're talking about in the movies, the need for Christians to be active, to stay focused on what's going on and to speak the truth in the midst of a culture that likes to lie. That's what they need. They need the truth. They need light in the darkness. They need salt on the decay. They need truth where there's deception. And that's really the ultimate motivation of the entire movie, is just to say the truth and then to lean on God and tell everybody, hey, if you need to repent, repent, get your sins forgiven. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's do what the Bible says.
Well, I'm so proud of how bold you are. And you're not new to this. I mean, you're well known in Republican political circles for your boldness. In fact, someone told me that when the Republican candidates getting ready for the Iowa caucus, they do their full Grassley visiting every county, they have to make a stop in Sioux City, Iowa, and, you know, hopefully get your blessing. And so you've been doing this for a long, long time, and God bless you I know the producer did a previous documentary called Enemies Within Congress that played Amazon and got 1.6 million downloads. And then I'm told that Amazon won't even carry it. And then you go to some of the other sources and, you know, I rarely call out people like this, but Salem Communications, which is a fine organization, I've worked well with them and various things over the years, they wouldn't even carry it. And so you had, had to come down the pecking order and get to me, but I'm glad to stand with you because I believe strongly in what you're doing. We've got to get this word out. We need people to watch the documentary. And I'm going to just tell everyone, our platform, they go to charismaplusapp.com and it's / enemies within the church. That's a little complicated. I'll say it again, charismaplusapp.com. We have a new platform that barely anyone knows because it's so new. It's called Charisma Plus, and it is an app. People can also download the free app and get it that way. It's $12.95, which isn't very much. And on our app, you can also watch it on Apple TV, Roku TV, and so forth. You have to download the app to do that. You don't have to download the app to get the documentary. I think it's very, very important. And we're doing our part to try to get the word out. So as we wrap this up, I want to ask you and give you the last word on what you hope happens because of this documentary, Enemies Within the Church.
Well, one of the greatest things that we do in this movie is at the end, I'm able to clearly present the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And to explain to everyone what's been missing from common preaching, probably for about 75 to 100 years in America, what's missing, what's different from the sermons that we're giving on Sunday in 2021 that we're calling the gospel versus things that were being preached in the late 1700s by some of the great world-shaking preachers. And that's one of the greatest moments, I think, in the whole movie is for people to hear the gospel clarified. To understand, yeah, we're missing some stuff. We're overemphasizing things that the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John don't emphasize, and then underemphasizing as a consequence the things that those books do emphasize. And it's hurting our culture because they're not hearing the complete truth that they need to hear. And here's how I summarize it. And I think this is the greatest thing in the world. You find out that the gospel is not just God loves you. The gospel is that you must repent, and we need both of those truths. You have to repent, and yes, God loves you. That's the full message that people need to hear. Our churches need to get back to that. And I had one in particular. We had a premiere just about 2 weeks ago, and people came from all over the country to watch the movie. And I think the greatest thing I heard was a pastor reached out to me the next day. He said, "I get tempted to quit the ministry all the time. Is pastoring is difficult work." He said, "I got to be honest, after watching this film all the way to the end, I felt like I got fire put back in my bones to get back in the pulpit and fight for Jesus."
Hallelujah.
And you couldn't tell me a better thing than that. I love that. So all the ministers out there, all the Christians, hang to the end of that movie, and I promise you, you'll be glad that you finished it.
And you know, it's a lot more than watching a movie or buying a book or anything like that. Each of us, we're going to be confronted with this, whether you had done the movie or if I've written any of my books or published the books. And people need tools.
They
need something to help them understand, help them navigate, find out they're not alone. A lot of Christians feel like they're going to, in fact, this is why a lot of Christians are quiet, even as you talked about the people that, you know, didn't want to be here on camera. They're afraid they're going to be left alone at the end of a noose, at the end of some tree branch,
right,
blowing in the wind. Well, you know, that may happen to some people, but they're not alone. You know, it's like the prophet Elijah who thought he was all alone and he wasn't. And I'm concerned about that. And a lot of the reasons why I'm motivated to do what I do is to encourage people. And we have to stand together. And when things happen to people, we have to support each other. And I have relationships with several denominations, a couple of Bible colleges and university. You know, part of what I do is connecting, but I only know a fraction. People who see their alma maters going bad, woke, for example. And a lot of these people are well-meaning. I mean, like I referred to earlier, I go out of my way to try to stand with my brothers and sisters in the Black community, but I stand with the Bible-believing, fighting people that don't compromise. And I want to know that I'm concerned about the systemic racism that goes back hundreds of years. But listen, when I moved to Florida in 1962 from Iowa, Black people could not stay in certain hotels. They couldn't go in certain restaurants, and their kids could not go to the white schools. They couldn't. Right. And there were other areas of discrimination. All of that is gone. All of it.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It doesn't mean they're not racist people, but if they try to do that, you know, the authorities come and do whatever they have to do. In other words, a restaurant could not refuse to serve a Black person.
That's right.
Anymore. That racism is gone. Actually,
praise God.
That's come is reversed now. It's the minorities trying to put the majority on guard. That's a discussion for another day. But I've done podcasts with pastors who's, well, I did with Mario Murillo. He says, the devil uses racism. He lost with in a manner of speaking with the civil rights movement, ending racism of whites against Blacks. Now he's using it with Blacks and other minorities or other people who say they're victimized against whites. The devil doesn't care which way the discrimination goes. And we have, of course, we don't approve of racial discrimination or other kinds of discrimination. Of course we don't, but we can't get sucked into trying to sound really nice. In fact, this has been a problem with the Republicans that I now see in the church. Anytime the Republicans get attacked by the left, they try to move a little bit to the left so the people will leave them alone. Well, it doesn't work. And we see the church trying to play footsies with the world. And that's another discussion for another day. But the devil doesn't leave them alone. It just doesn't. We've got to stand strong. To me, you're a hero.
Oh,
Pastor Kerry Gordon is a hero. God bless you for what you do. People need
this
documentary. We need to have a paradigm shift within the body of Christ. And I believe that your movie, Enemies Within the Church, is an eye-opener. And hopefully there will be a paradigm shift so that things will change from now on. And, you know, like the old saying, nipping something in the bud. We need to nip this wokeness in the bud in our, in our evangelical Bible colleges and seminaries before it becomes full-blown.
Right.
It doesn't need to seem trendy. It needs to be trendy. I was going to say to stand with the Word of God, but that's what people need to be proud of, to stand strong with the Word of God rather than just trying to be popular in the world. So thank you for being on my podcast, which we're doing his video, but most people will listen to it. Please share this with others, email it, put it on social media, go on our website and order this documentary.
Yes.
Very, very important. The future of the church in America in some ways depends on which way this ends up in the things that are being talked about and promoted in the movie, the brand new movie, Enemies Within the Church.
I believe this is one of the most powerful interviews I've ever done. And as you heard, I've written about some of these things in my book. I'm familiar with a lot of these things. And I want to get behind what Kerry Gordon and the others who produced Enemies Within the Church are doing. I hope that you will share this with others. I hope you'll watch the documentary. It's very, very important. Thank you again for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.